What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. All right, it is continuing. The closing in on Fannie Willis, the prosecutor down in Fulton County, who hired her boyfriend allegedly to try Donald Trump and his allies in the perfect phone call, you know, the call he made, or well, it was a different perfect phone call that he made to find me the votes and all that, right? Fannie Willis prosecuting Trump. Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and a bunch of other Republicans down in Fulton County, Georgia. And then it was discovered that she hired her boyfriend. And then they went on trips together. And she supposedly paid him back in cash. Well, where'd you get the cash from? And she says, oh, well, I just keep, you know, stacks of cash hidden in my house. And so I would just pay him back with the stacks of cash. Okay, where'd you get the cash from? Oh, well, you know, one time I cashed out some money that I had taken out for my my election campaign, which, by the way, that's not legal. But also she said she just, you know, would accumulate it every time she'd go to the grocery store and take out $50 extra when she checked out, which, by the way, did you see that they're now charging? They're charging a fee. Have you seen this? Yeah. When you go to the grocery store and you're going to withdraw money, you're going to get a little bit extra, something, something, Fannie Willis style. They want to charge you like 3% or something on that. They're going to charge you a fee to get your, yeah. So I'm going to have to go to the ATM now specifically. So they're having these closing arguments in this it's a hearing that's been going on for the last couple of weeks, because the defense attorneys for Trump et al. Are trying to get Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, or now ex-boyfriend Nathan Wade, removed from the case. But also today they said they want structural impairment. They say that there is a structural impairment of the indictment. Okay, so they want the entire indictment now tossed because this structural impairment, this unethical behavior that Fannie Willis went about constructing this racket, where she went after Trump and his allies specifically for personal gain. That's their argument. That this is a personal thing for her, right? She is corrupted, and she went to these lengths in order to derive personal gain, namely the money that she paid her boyfriend that they used to take trips together with. And when, you know, asked, can you provide us some proof that you repaid this stuff with cash, they have refused to provide any proof whatsoever that she had. It's just her word, and that's all they're going to go with. That's it. You just have our word that it's cash. It's untraceable. No proof necessary. It's just our word versus these other witnesses. All right, so here's this attorney who he's reading from his note. He looked at the notes.
Whatsoever, and the money flows off. But because they got caught, they then commit what I think is an additional component of forensic misconduct, and that is fraud on this court. When they filed that affidavit, and now it's been proven, I think, beyond virtually any doubt, that the relationship occurred prior to November 1, 2021, and the benefits that were there. And we don't have to run around, and I love we've got all the records showing from Mr. Wade about the payment for these trips, for the cruises, for the flights, all this stuff. What's the only way is they sat around and met together before they testified and came up with their story. What's the only way that they can save themselves? Pay no attention to the records. Pay no attention to the airlines and to the flights and vacations and the cruises. I paid him back in cash. Show us your receipts. Where did you take cash out of the bank? Ever? Oh, I don't have any. Well, show us the deposits that he had. Well, never. We don't have any. What we have here is fraud on this court, which has been shown, I think, overwhelmingly by the evidence, and overwhelmingly through not only the testimony of Yurty, the testimony of the emails and the text from Mr. Bradley to Ms. Merchant, as well as all the documents that they had no answer to other than the, just trust me, I gave him money, it evaporated, I don't know where it came from, and he doesn't know what he did with it. Just please trust us and believe us, because it's our only way out of the trap that they set for themselves. These people, sadly, and I hate to say, as the court knows, I was a prosecutor for about 3.5 million years, it seems, in the federal building, and I was an assistant DA beforehand. Prosecutors don't act like this. Lawyers don't act like this. These people, Your Honor, is a systematic misconduct, and they need to go. Thank you.
I don't know. That does seem kind of powerful. Former prosecutor himself at the state and federal levels saying that prosecutors don't act like this, or I guess shouldn't act like this.
Your Honor, I'm going to cover a few factual details.
Oh, and by the way, there are so many lawyers here because there are so many people being tried all at once in this case. You know, Trump, Meadows, Giuliani. There's like 3 or 4 other Republican officials at the county level as well. So there are a whole bunch of these defendants, and each of them have at least one lawyer. Some of them have two. So it's like this whole side of the courtroom is just packed with lawyers. So they all get a chance, though, to make their arguments.
That was paid to Mr. Wade through the contract that Ms. Willis got him. That money flow, that is the personal interest that you asked about. She was personally benefiting from the position, from the job, from the scope of the investigation, from the scope of the indictment, and how they conducted it. And we know this, we know from the records that have been submitted before the court that Mr. Wade paid at least $17,095 towards this relationship. That does not even include the various dinners, the day trips that both Wade and Willis admitted to. So that number is likely even higher. We know from the documents that Ms. Willis only paid $1,394 for an airline ticket. We know from Ms. Yurty, who was pretty much uncontested, there was no evidence presented by the state disputing her time frame, that relationship started in 2019. She saw them kissing. She saw them hugging. Now,
that was her friend.
Whether or not they had sex before January of 2022, I do not know. They admitted sometime in early 2022, and I found it curious that they both, Wade and Willis, just went straight to the sex. So maybe that's when they started having sex. I do not know. But the relationship predated that. And their combined and overly suggestive focus on that is a red herring to this court and to the defense, that's what they want you to focus on. They want you to ignore all the evidence that the relationship predated that.
Right, and remember that the woman who testified that their relationship began so early, this was a friend of Fannie Willis. Fannie took over the lease in this woman's condo when she got married. And she's the one who said, oh no, they started dating back in 2019.
Yep. I don't even think love-struck teenagers communicate that much.
Oh, yeah, like the 30,000 text messages or whatever it was over a year.
Escapade. Phone call from Ms. Willis, between Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade, 11:32 that night. Shortly after midnight, the phone starts traveling down from where Mr. Wade lives. It ends up where Ms. Willis is staying, and he's there until roughly 4:55 a.m. None of the excuses, none of the explanations that Mr. Wade gave, going to the Porsche experience, going to dinner, going to the airport, none of that explains that. I'm pretty sure the Porsche experience isn't open in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there weren't any restaurants that he drove.
Well, I mean, I don't really know. Like what kind of Porsche experience are we talking about? Like, what is the experience you're paying for? You know? Maybe it is a 3 a.m. experience. I don't know. Well, this guy looks like the judge up in, what's his name? Enderon and Moron. What's the judge's name up there in New York that just fined Trump all that money? Moron? That's his name. So anyway, this guy looks like him. I don't know who he is. He looks like a lawyer, though. Well, I mean, I hope so, because he's given some sort of closing arguments in this hearing trying to get Fannie Willis removed.
It should be free from all temptation, bias, or prejudice so far as it is possible for our courts to accomplish it. The first occurrence of that I can find is Nichols v. State more than 100 years ago, 1915.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm not going to sit and listen to you make reference to 100-year-old case law. All right, so we'll keep monitoring that. I don't know if the judge is going to take all of these arguments under advisement and mull it over, or if he's going to, like, listen. He's just going to sit and listen and then be like, yeah, no, you're going to stay on the case. Like, immediately rule. He could do that. I've seen him do that. I've seen judges oftentimes, like, a lot of times these arguments are made and it's just formality. It's just to preserve the record. You put this stuff into the record, but the judges already kind of have an idea because they've been doing their own research. And so you get up and you make these arguments, and they don't have to write out a whole legal opinion here. They're just going to make a ruling. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to go back and write something up in order to, you know, explain his decision to allow Willis and Wade to stay on the case. Because there's, as I understand it, there's, you got what now? Three different questions. Keep Willis or not. Keep Wade or not. And then the third would be whether or not to toss the entire indictment, because the whole thing is conflicted. The whole thing has been corrupted, right? Because if she's doing this for personal gain, as the lawyers are alleging, and she's got some personal animosity that's driving this, then you'd have to start over from scratch to say whether or not the indictments were properly obtained, right? So there's that. And which is why I suspect maybe she didn't recuse herself immediately. I've been wondering this from the very beginning, right? When I thought, well, it's kind of weird, you know, if you've got these accusations that she's conflicted out and she needs to recuse herself. If I'm her and I'm interested in seeing justice done and getting Donald Trump to go to prison, then why not just step aside and just allow other prosecutors to just keep running with the case, right? Unless, of course, the evidence is not strong enough to actually win the conviction. And so the only real benefit in trying the case is getting your name elevated and to get the focus on you and to make money off of this process and to build your clout, build your reputation, right? To make you a rock star in Democrat circles, to get the invitations to the White House, right? That's the reason to charge. It's not that you're actually confident you're going to win the convictions, right? But I don't know. But these are the questions that I ask because I don't know. What else? Have you heard, you've been seeing a lot of this stuff about Christian nationalism recently? Have you seen this stuff? I got to admit, I was not aware, but I am not up to date on all of the latest iterations of the homegrown terrorist threats. That is true. Okay. There seem to be new ones all the time, all comprised of basically the same people, I think, which are like rural white FBI agents. So they're all in the same groups, as I understand it. But there's this new thing now called Christian nationalism. And what is Christian nationalism? Well, as I understand it, here is what it means. Is that you believe our rights come from God and not the government. That's it. So I guess I'm a Christian nationalist now. I didn't even know it. I got no card. I was not initiated. I didn't have to pay any dues or anything. I'm just, apparently, if that's the barrier for entry, it's pretty low. Because I guess I'm in with the founders, too. All of the founding fathers, I guess they're all Christian nationalists as well. I mean, heck, look at the Declaration of Independence. I mean, natural law. This is natural law, nature's law. That's the whole point, right? That's why you get to defend yourself. Because that's what nature would allow you to do as well. That's the natural thing, right? If someone is attacking you, you get to kill them, right? That's the idea. Tyler O'Neill's got a piece at the Daily Signal. Says, is America on the verge of establishing a theocracy? The left's recent warnings about the rise of Christian nationalism suggest that a powerful conservative Christian cabal is pulling the strings behind the scenes to forcibly convert the entire nation, or something. In the past week, Politico's Heidi Prisbola, I think is how she pronounces that. Well, how would you pronounce this? P-R-Z-Y-B-Y-L-A. Prisbola. 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 Zibola. Publa. I don't know. Anyway, Heidi, she's been hammering the drum on this issue.
All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Now they're done. The defense has finished their closing arguments, if you will. They were each given about 5 minutes. So all the different defense lawyers got to say their piece, make their arguments as to, I think the last one there was a defense attorney, McDougald was his name, and he made the argument that there were six conflicts that the judge should agree with the defense attorneys on in identifying and then removing Willis and Wade from the case and then dismissing the entire case, just throw the whole thing out. They've now taken a break. And the state will come back in a couple minutes, and they'll start their close. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, we are talking about Christian nationalism. And Politico's Heidi Prisbola, who has been hammering the drum on this issue, which is weird. I think, don't you beat the drum and you hammer away, right? Anyway, Tyler O'Neill, writing at the Daily Signal, says first claiming, as she does, that apparently without any concrete evidence, that former Trump administration official Russell Vogt has prioritized Christian nationalism by name in documents for a potential Trump second term. She doesn't actually show them, but whatever. And then defining Christian nationalism as the doctrine that rights come from God, not from government. That is how Politico is defining Christian nationalism. Quote, the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, hashtag not all Christians, because Christian nationalism's very different, is that they believe our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God, Prisbola said in an appearance on MSNBC. She also complained that it's men determining what God is telling them. She called it also so-called natural law. So this is it. This is the, it is truly amazing sometimes when you catch these journalismers who are supposed to know these things of which they speak and they don't, right? Clearly, she has no idea. Fannie Willis is in the house. It looks like she has her dress on frontwards this time. So that's good. So yeah, she came in and she sat down at the prosecution's table, and she looked over the shoulder at the work that one of her employees is doing or something, and now she's checking her phone. Okay, anyway, so she's in there. I don't know if she's going to be participating, but she'll be there when they make their closing arguments here. But I do find it interesting that this reporter for Politico seems to believe that Christian nationalists believe that our rights come from God and not from man. And that this is the hallmark, the defining characteristic of Christian nationalism. And that this is why it must be fought. This is theocracy, obviously, which is absurd. This is yet another indictment on our education system, that this woman, Heidi Pizbula, or maybe she, I mean, I assume she may, maybe she's not American. Maybe she didn't come through the American K-12 system. I don't know. Maybe not. I assume she did. Because even if she didn't, I mean, then I would say it's an indictment on the immigration testing that we put our immigrants through. But her fear-mongering has nothing to do with reality. According to her definition of Christian nationalism, the Declaration of Independence is a Christian nationalist document, right? Because not only does it ground our ability to declare independence from Britain in the laws of nature and nature's God, but it explicitly roots the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in an endowment from the Creator, right? These are truths that are self-evident. It addresses its appeal to the, quote, supreme judge of the world with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. This is not subtle, right? This is very clear. It is blaringly obvious. America is not on the verge of a Christian nationalist theocracy, okay? No one is seriously arguing that we throw out the Constitution and replace it with the Bible, or that we should make citizens or candidates for office or government officials, you know, recite the Nicene Creed before they enjoy legal rights, okay? What conservatives are seriously arguing, though, is that some rights of the sexual revolution should be curtailed in the interests of more fundamental rights. See, Christian nationalism isn't the real threat to the free exercise of religion in America today. The real threat is the ideology of the sexual revolution that is imposed on that has imposed on the people by government force, right? The ideology of the left. And this is what Pizbula and the left can't stand, is that establishment, authority is now being challenged. That's why the left, he says, has a conniption when the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade and allows states to make their own laws on abortion. According to Catholic Vote, vandals attacked at least 88 pregnancy centers and pro-life groups after the leak of the Dobbs decision. Oh, by the way, 236 Catholic churches also have been attacked. The left is not objecting to the right imposing its worldview on Americans by force. It's objecting to the right finally getting a say on issues springing from the sexual revolution. We're not witnessing the rise of Christian nationalism, but the weakening of an anti-Christian establishment. That's what we're seeing. And that's what the pushback is about. Remember, as always, the issue isn't the issue. The issue is the revolution.
All right. Hey, maybe you have heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina. It's coming soon, on March 11th, to be exact. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sports books with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and then place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now here's the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements, and see terms at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC.
All right. The state is now making its argument. This guy, I am not at all impressed with this lawyer. His delivery is not ideal.
She's communicating with Mr. Partridge about what her upcoming testimony is. That's why she's hired him. And you're telling me I should infer things based on her communications to him?
Absolutely, because they're not attorney-client communications anymore when he discloses them to the court and everybody else as they watch the Zoom and attend the hearing. The difference is there was no request to go in camera. There was no request to have a private conversation with you, as was done with Mr. Bradley. That would have been the proper procedure. So, yes, I'm asking you to infer that 100%. I'm asking you to infer that her testimony was at best inconsistent. Because the testimony of Ms. Yurdi, when she testified, was...
He's saying, by the way, so this is one of the prosecutors that works for Fannie Willis, and he's saying that the material misrepresentations actually occurred by Terrence Bradley and by this woman, Yurdi. They're the ones who lied and then told the defense attorneys, and then the defense attorneys filed these motions based on these lies. So they're all lies, and those are the material misrepresentations. It's not Willis, and it's not Wade.
And then further, when pressed by Mr. Sadow, he talks about why she believed they were in a relationship. And what was interesting from Ms. Yurdi's testimony that they were pretty close friends.
I'm not a fan of his delivery, because it's this kind of halting, stilted delivery of a couple words at a time, and then this kind of stiltedness. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the way he's delivering. Maybe it works for him as a prosecutor, and not so much as it is kind of interesting. They're all kind of flipped in their roles here. Defense, prosecutor, because they're playing the role of defense attorneys now. The prosecutors are, and vice versa. So anyway, did you hear about the Florida Man Games? Yeah. They rose up by the dozens from across Florida, caricatured competitors in tank tops and cutoff shorts for a showdown that treats evading police and wrestling over beer as if they were Olympic sports. Promoted as the most insane athletic showdown on earth, the Florida Man Games poke fun at the state's reputation for bizarre stories that involve brawling, drinking, gunfire, reptile wrangling, and other antics. The games kicked off Saturday with the Star-Spangled Banner played on an electric guitar, of course, and then spectators sipping canned beers behind metal barricades cheered and frequently shouted expletives as a dozen different teams battled in contests inspired by real events from America's most surreal state. This by Russ Bynum at the Associated Press. He quotes James Gordon of DeLand. That's a place called DeLand, not like of the land. He's not James Gordon of the land. He's out of DeLand, Florida. Okay. He won the first event, wolfing down a plate loaded with barbecue pork and sausage. A fraction of a second before his nearest competitor, he then chugged a beer to celebrate. Quote, "I've lived in Florida my whole life," Gordon said, after washing sauce from his hands and beard. "They're calling these events. I call this bleeping Tuesday afternoon." One event had contenders dueling in muddy water in an inflatable pool. Okay, so they have an inflatable pool. They fill it with muddy water, and they pummel each other with weapons made from pool noodles and duct tape, as is proper. Another was a theft simulation relay in which competitors raced while toting a pair of bicycles, copper pipes, and catalytic converters. Larry Donnelly, he says he trained for the relay race by riding a bicycle around his neighborhood with a second bicycle strapped to his back. That was his training. Much like Rocky in the documentary Rocky 3. Yeah. It paid off Saturday when he won his heat after picking up a bike in each hand and running with them. Quote, "I have an absolute disregard for self-preservation. I will do anything," said Donnelly. Wrestling sumo style while holding pitchers of beer, running from actual sheriff's deputies while jumping fences and avoiding obstacles. These are the events that were at the Florida Man Games. They actually had real sheriff's deputies to chase the participants. Also, scrambling to grab cash, flying in a simulated hurricane wind. Spectators paid $45 a ticket or more. Yusuf El Shahibi said he and his wife made the 180-mile trip from Port St. Richey, quote, "to watch stupidity occur on the grandest, most spectacular scale." What else do we have here? The guy who created this event, Pete Melfi, He said ticket sales exceeded 5,000 sold. He is with the media outlet, the 904 now. And he said these were all, ripped from the headlines types of events. They're all modeled on real stories. But he said he did have to tone down. He had some other ideas that didn't make the cut. He had to tone it down in order to get the permits. He said, because, typically, he says, quote, there's typically drugs and nudity, but the city frowned on it when I asked for the drugs and the nudity. So that didn't make it into the competition. Florida's claim to being the strangest state goes back a long way, said journalist Craig Pittman, who wrote the book, Oh, Florida, How America's Weirdest State Influences the Rest of the Country. Did you know that the first flag to ever fly over the capital of Florida in 1848 bore the motto, Let Us Alone? Which apparently nobody has listened to, right? Nobody has heard their plea.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.